Father, you've been here before, years ago. You were here during the upper room when Jesus took bread and declared it was his body. When he took a cup and said, "This is my blood in the new covenant." This was something that we were to do in remembrance of him. So as we come to this service tonight, we would ask that you would open our hearts to your word, first of all, that you'd speak to us through your word. Then you would speak to us through this communion service, that we might indeed have walked out of here having communion with communion. So we give this service to you, ask your blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you brought your Bibles tonight. If not, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So let's open your Bibles if you've got them. We're going to be looking at five events. There are five historical events that surround this Passover meal. The first is the historical event. That's when the blood of the lamb was put upon the doorpost in order to pass over those that were going to die that night in Egypt. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12, and let's go look at that first historical event. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Where were they? They weren't in Israel. They weren't in the promised land. They were still in bondage to Egypt. This month shall be your beginning of months, a month of Nisan. And it shall be this month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for his household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according each man to make count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. It shall be of the first year, that you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of that same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts, and then on the lintel, which is the top of the door, wherever they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh of that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled with water, but roasted in the fire, its head with its legs and its all entrails. And ye shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. I would hope some of the entrails would be burned with fire the next morning. And thus ye shall eat it. Now notice this, with a belt on your waist, with your staff in your hand, and your feet, sandals on your feet, and ye shall have your staff in your hand, so ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign to you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. That's where we get the name Passover. And the plague will not be upon you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So that's the historical event. The second event was a commemorative dinner that Israel was to celebrate and remember for the rest of their generations. And we see that same chapter, Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord through all your generations. Yes, keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Historical event, commemorative dinner. 1,500 years later, you have the upper room. And I want to go over to 1 Corinthians 11. I want to look at Paul's account, because Jesus did something different in this Passover meal, something that probably surprised the disciples. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. We'll go to Matthew later on in our study tonight. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is what Paul says to us. For I received of the Lord the same night in which I was betrayed, that I delivered to you the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which I was betrayed, I took bread. And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it. That bread he took, we're going to look at tonight. It was that middle piece of matzah. And we're going to look at the significance of that. And he said, take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. They'd never heard that word at a Passover before. Then in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. He took the third cup, the cup of redemption. We're going to be talking about that later tonight as well. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Now the fourth event is the modern communion and Passover. Here at E-Free, we celebrate it the first Sunday of each month. On special occasions like tonight, we'll celebrate it. Others celebrate the Passover on the 14th of Nisan, according to the Jewish calendar, on the 14th day. But now, there's one more. One more event hasn't come yet. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24 and see where Jesus predicts this. Matthew chapter 26. Are you with me so far? All right, let's go to Matthew 26. And then we'll begin reading at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink all of it. For this is my blood in a new covenant shed for the remission of sins. Now notice this next verse. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What cup was he talking about? We're going to look at that tonight. What cup did he not take that night that he's going to take when we all meet together with him? Let's go to Revelation chapter 19 and we'll look at that event. There's no real description of taking a cup during this, but I believe this is when it's going to take place. Revelation chapter 19. And we'll look at verse 6. It's going to be interesting, folks, because we're going to see this cup as the cup of praise. And this is exactly what we see here in Revelation chapter 19. And I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunderings. Who do you think this is? This is us. This is us. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the wife has made herself ready. Who's the wife? The bride, the church. And let her, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the linen is the righteous acts of who? The saints. We're the saints. You might be watching some TV show talking about the saints. Those aren't the saints. Everyone who's come to faith in Christ, they're the saints. And notice what it says here. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, to those are the true sayings of God. Okay, history's over. We've looked at the historical event. We looked at the commemorative dinner. We've looked at the upper room and 1,500 years later where Jesus is celebrating it. We've come to our era, the church age, the age of the Holy Spirit, where people are celebrating this in remembrance of what he's done. But one day, we're going to have a marriage supper of the Lamb when he, I think, will take that cup and we will share it together with him. Now, in that Passover, there were four cups. You say, but Pastor, you got one that's empty. We'll talk about that. There were four cups. And there were three loaves of matzah bread. We're only going to take that middle loaf later on. But realize that there were those things set up especially for the Passover meal. Now, each cup has a specific purpose. It has a specific name, and it corresponds to one of four promises that God had made. And I want to go look at those promises. And if you can, turn to Exodus, if you will, once again, Exodus chapter 6. I want you to mark these promises. Exodus chapter 6. You there? Exodus chapter 6. Let's look at verse 9. And I'll give you the promises. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Promise number one. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Promise number one. Promise number two. I will rescue you from their bondage. Promise number three. I will redeem you with an everlasting outstretched arm. And promise number four, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. So this first cup corresponded to that first promise. I will bring you out of the land of the Egyptians. This was cup number one, and it was called sanctification, the cup of sanctification. Now, sanctification means set apart. How many of you drink coffee in the morning? Usually from the same cup? You know, you've sanctified that cup, you've set it apart for a specific purpose. Now, this cup was the cup of sanctification. And that's the first cup that they drank. And what it did was they were to be set apart from the Egyptians. Today, we're to be set apart from the world. So as they drank this cup, it sanctified the whole Passover meal together. Now, as soon as they drank that cup, so this cup's gone, I'm not going to drink it all. Then they would take the middle loaf. I'm going to talk about this a little later, but what would they do with this middle loaf is that they would wrap it in linen cloth. I'm not very good at this. My wife's a lot better at folding things than I am. But they would take it, and they would put it and bury it under the table. Is that a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, who was wrapped in swaddling clothes, we'll talk about that, burial cloth. The one who was born in Bethlehem, house of bread, who declared himself to be the bread of life, who was put into the tomb and buried. As soon as that was done, and they'd put the middle loaf underneath the bread, then they would take the second cup. Now, this second cup corresponded to the promise, I will free you from bondage. It was the cup of judgment. See, judgment fell on Israel that night. All the firstborn, except upon who? Those who had blood on the doorposts were rescued. They did not come into judgment. And beautiful today is that we don't come into judgment because his blood has covered our sins. And we're free. There's no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So they would take this, meaning they would be free from bondage. Judgment fell, but not on them. Now, as soon as that was done, before they drank the third cup, they would take that bread from underneath the table. And I believe this is what Jesus took. And it says that he broke it. And he gave it to him. Would you look at this piece of matzah bread? It reminds me of Isaiah 53. It has little rows and holes in it. And it says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was pierced for our iniquities. And then you'll notice the little stripes that was there as they cooked it. And it says in Isaiah 53, with his stripes we are healed. What a beautiful picture. I don't know that they understood it, but we could understand this. Understand in Isaiah 53, that beautiful passage about the Messiah. So then, this is what I believe that Jesus took. Now, what we're going to do is do a traditional bread at this time. This is why we do the bread before we do the cup, by the way. Because Jesus took the bread first. Then he took the cup. Now, what we're going to do in this bread is we're going to Gary's going to put up onto the board, up on the wall there. Go ahead and do that for us. Let us break bread together. Now, if you want to turn to your hymnals, it's hymn number 162. 162. I'm going to look at it because it's easier for me to see that than to turn my back and look at the wall. 162. Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stand in a minute. And we're going to read. We're not going to sing this. That's great, because I don't sing well. So we're going to read this. And the way we're going to read this, we're going to read in unison verse 1 and then the chorus. Then we're going to read in unison verse 3 and then the chorus, because verse 2 has to do with the cup and we're not there yet. So let's stand together and let's read in unison. Let us break bread together. You can look up on the wall or in your hymn book. Let's follow together with me, okay? Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Verse 3. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. You can be seated. We're going to ask the men that are going to serve our bread to come up. We don't ask that you be a member of E-Free Church, because this table belongs to anyone who's received Jesus Christ. Realize he's the Son of God who died on the cross, and with the shedding of his blood, there was forgiveness of sin. And with the giving of his body, it was given in sacrifice for us. So that's important that you understand that. So we're going to distribute the bread, then we're going to hold it and take it all together, and we'll have a word of prayer together. So, gentlemen, if you will pass this out. The same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do as often as you will in remembrance of me." Now we come to that third cup, which corresponded to the promise, I will redeem you from an outstretched hand. This was known as the cup of redemption. And I believe this was the cup that Jesus took that night. Matthew 26, verse 27 through 28, he said, drink from all of it, for this blood is a new covenant between me and you, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. So we're going to take the cup now as part of our communion service. But first we're going to turn to page 269 if you have your hymnal, or it's going to be up on to the wall. And you're going to have to really, really be sharp tonight, because I'm going to do something a little bit different here. We're going to read this as well, 269, nothing but the blood. I'm going to have you stand, so go ahead and do that. Now, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to read the little first phrase, and your response will be, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Then I'm going to say the second phrase, your response is, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Then we'll do the chorus together. Then we're going to do verse 2, 3, and 4 without the chorus. And when we get to the fourth verse, we're going to say the chorus. So I'm going to say the first phrase. You say nothing but the blood. We'll do the chorus together in unison. Then we'll do verse 2, 3, and 4. And then we'll do... You got it? Oh, you guys are so sharp. That's great. Here we go. And look at these beautiful questions. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh,
precious is the flow
that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For the cleansing, this my plea. Nothing can for sin atone.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Not of good that I have done.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my hope and peace.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my righteousness.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Altogether, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You could be a choir if you didn't have to sing, right? All right, you can be seated. Now we come to that fourth cup. It was to that promise in Exodus, I will take you to myself as a people. It was the cup of praise. I have nothing more to praise than that I have been taken into the family of God. Now, at the Passover meal, there was a place set for Elijah. And at Elijah's plate was an empty cup. And the children would all go to the door and open the door and let Elijah come in. And Elijah would come, and he would tell about the coming of the Messiah. So what they would do is take this fourth cup and pour it into Elijah's cup. I believe, I can't prove it, but I believe that was the cup that Jesus said, I will not drink it until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. This was the Messiah. Can you imagine the disciples? The Messiah was there in their presence, but his hour had not yet come. And so as he made this promise, I tell you, I will not drink it again until I drink it with who? With us. in the kingdom. And we saw that in Matthew 19, and I believe that's when Jesus is going to come and he's going to share that beautiful cup together with us. All right. The communion, the Lord's table was done, but we're not done. That's good because it's only 7 o'clock. They left the upper room. This also corresponded on the night of the Passover. Turn me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12 had to be fulfilled. Exodus chapter 12. Are you there? Look at Exodus 12. Look at verse 42. It is a night of solemn observance. The literal translation of that is a night of vigil. I want you to get that word vigil. Just write it in there. It says, the night of solemn observance or vigil to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance, a solemn vigil for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. Now, God had kept vigil on that night when he passed over and saw the blood. He stayed up all night to pass over the people and to save them from judgment. Jesus and his disciples also left the upper room. And they were also to keep vigil. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. And I think we'll have one other passage after this one. Matthew 26. Let's begin reading here. At verse 36. Now, they had just finished. Other passages said they'd sung a hymn. And where do they go? It says here that Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here a while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which had been James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even to death. Stay here, watch with me, keep vigil. Keep vigil. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup, what? The cup of redemption, that third cup. Let it pass from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch, keep vigil with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that true? Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going at hand. He came three times, and they weren't keeping vigil. At his greatest hour of need, they were asleep. See, God had stayed up to protect Moses and the people of Israel, and he kept vigil all night. Aren't you glad that Jesus kept vigil and stayed to the course and finished the work that God had given him to do? There's something that I kind of want to end in that might be a little bit of a downer, but it should make us think. It's the second half of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's turn there. I'll finish with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. A lot of times we don't read this, and we should, because this is all about keeping vigil. Now notice what it says here. This is after, we have the instruction about the communion. Therefore, verse 27, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, keep vigil, so that let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak, many are sick among you, and many have died. For if we would judge ourselves, examine ourselves, see, keep vigil, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone's hungry, let him eat at home. Now, as we've come around this table tonight, we've been sanctified. We've been set apart. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've been set apart. You've been sanctified. What have you been set apart from? The world, just like they were set apart from the Egyptians. You've also been set apart from bondage. No matter what sins you've committed in the past or today or tomorrow, they're forgiven. So you might say, well, Pastor, why do I need to confess my sin if it's already forgiven? You ever ask yourself that question? I'm going off my notes here because the thought just came to me that we need to understand this. We don't confess our sins to be forgiven of those sins. You say, well, that's not what 1 John tells us? See, you're standing with God. Your relationship with God is settled. Your sins have been paid for on the cross. So why do we confess or agree with God concerning our sin? Not for the relationship, but for the fellowship. See, that's what 1 John is all about. If we say we have fellowship, yet we continue to sin. See, that fellowship is broken when we sin, and it quenches the Spirit of God. So I think this is what Paul kind of had in mind when he's giving this instruction. So we've been redeemed. We've been bought with a price. Whose price? His blood. Wasn't mine. Wasn't good enough. No spotless Lamb of God here. And we have praise that God has taken us for a people. And one day, there's going to be multitudes of us standing together, and the Lamb is going to stand in our midst, and he's going to take that fourth cup, And he says, remember I promised that I was going to take this with you in my kingdom? I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray. And then Rod's got this song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. What beautiful words. He shared that with me this week, and I said, that will be a beautiful way to close this service. Let's bow together. Father, I pray that on this night, that there's something that your Spirit would bring home to us. Not just for information, but because I've never thought of that, or that thought could really change my life. And it could help me keep vigil when I come to this table. It would help me to realize what he did in my behalf. That he's not to for a dead Jesus, but the Lamb, the Passover, the Son of God, has come so that we can be in relationship with him. So Lord, we thank you for that opportunity that we've shared together tonight. And Lord, as we come together, that we might remember just how deep the Father's love is for us. In your name, amen. I want to thank Brian for that beautiful little handout that you got tonight. We want you to stick that in your Bible somewhere and let those art pieces kind of speak. We love watercolors, Brian and I do. And I thought that was really neat. Before we pray, and I should have prayed immediately after that song, I want to remind you of Easter Sunday morning. 8:30, the men are cooking breakfast. Ladies, you can enjoy it. Come and eat it. No cheating, no helping the men. It's all their breakfast to serve for us. You can do that at 8:30. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll have a special worship. We're going to have a choir with a couple of special numbers, other songs that we're going to be singing. I mean, it's Easter. We got to sing and rejoice in that. We're going to be behind the stone. Last week, we looked at what transpired in the darkness. What transpired behind the stone before Jesus ever stepped out of that tomb? That's what we'll be looking at Sunday. Let's stand together. If you don't mind joining hands, if you don't want to do that, just stand next to each other, just kind of come together. We are family here, and we want to feel like we're part of the family. So come together in the middle if you want. Just kind of scoot over that way. There you go. Is that okay? All right. Love it. Let's bow together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved us, that redeemed us. Father, you went to the grave. You won the victory over sin and death, that we might be a people of praise and worship and thankfulness. But Father, you've not given us this story to keep to ourselves. This is something to pass on to our children, to our grandchildren, to our families, to our loved ones, to our co-workers, to people that might be in school, wherever we might meet them. It's interesting, while we were setting up last night, someone saw a family and they wanted to know when the service was Sunday. We don't know who might walk in here on Sunday. And we would ask that your Spirit would speak to our hearts, that they might see a people or in the feel this presence of the Spirit of God in powerful ways. And that, Father, you'd continue to reveal yourself to us. Give us mercy, journey home. And as we lay our heads down tonight, that you might bring to remembrance something that we can say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for worshiping with us tonight. Oh, we have not. Oh, my goodness. We were supposed to do this a long time ago. I don't think Jesus had a memory loss problem. Let's sit down. I knew we forgot something. I said, boy, this is early. Hey, guys. This is funny. This is great. Oh, only I could do something like this. What? Yeah. Oh. These are our good friends. They used to be at our church over in Fort Collins. Thanks. You kept me going over there, and now you're here tonight. Let's bow together a minute as this is being passed. Father, you know, there are times I'm sure you laughed with your disciples. You prayed for them. You're concerned for them. And Father, I want to thank you that you don't forget that you shed your blood. And this cup is a new covenant in your blood, which is shed for us. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm reminded of that beautiful story of how a man would show his love for the woman he wanted to marry in Jewish culture. I think I've shared this with you before. He'd go to her house and he'd pour out a cup of wine. If she didn't drink it, he was done. But if she drank it, it said, I'm committed to you. And he would go back to his father's house, add a room, and then come and get her. What a beautiful story. Jesus takes this cup, pours it before us. As we drink it, we're committing ourselves to him. The night Jesus took bread, he also took the cup, saying, after supper, this is a new covenant in my blood. Drink as often as you will in remembrance of me. Would it be too much to sing that song again? Let's do that, because that was such a beautiful way. Now, you will not remember anything about tonight except that Pastor Ed forgot the communion. That's what you're going to remember. Let's stand together and let's do that song again, because that was such a beautiful way to end the service. And if we don't mind doing that again, let's do that.